there was one guy who, from Billings, who I observed, he was, you know, I don't think he knew shit from apple butter. He was an MEA person that just, you know, he tried to find every possible reason why we shouldn't. But and he argued that, oh, we're going to use the AFT voting structure, and that that's a bad thing, and everybody has to, I mean, everybody in the union has to vote. Well, I mean, it was interesting when we were, Eric and I were going around the state, we did the MEA voting procedure the first year. They were handing us envelopes with ballots in them. We were driving the ballots back to Helena. I mean, it was a ludicrous situation. It's
insane.
I wouldn't even suggest it was corrupt, but man, did it have the potential to be. And I think many states do this now. Yeah. They still do this. But we had agreed in the Constitution that we would do that one time. Well, I mean, we would be See, we have what's called little delegate assemblies that before the main convention, so we would make tours around the state to all these different areas, and shit, they'd be, some of them would be voting the goddamn ballots right in front of us. But we, of course, never gave him our opinion as that. Well, I ran for vice president, he went for president. And I knew that from the beginning, too. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, mathematically, MEA had the right to the presidency. They had 9,500 members, we had 55.
Yeah. It's kind of like what Shanker did, too.
Hmm?
It's kind of like what Shanker did, too, is allow Hobart to be president. He would be number two and actually eventually completely off.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. The numbers are there.
Right.
Yeah. Why cause more?
Well, we want, I mean, if you want to build a labor movement, and remember I said I learned that. I learned it from a lot of people. I mean, don't misunderstand me. I think there's a lot of boneheads in blue collars in terms of how, because they don't organize. I just think it's atrocious. But I've also had fantastic blue and white collar people that have helped me out in my career.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and put a lot of lumps on my head, but they understood organizing. But nobody understood organizing like the University Teachers Union. The organize the unorganized. That's going to cost us a little bit more. Quit your bitching. That's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm. So the university professors, they have the adjunct faculty, is the staff part of it too?
There are adjuncts in part of that unit. It's the recognition clause recognitions everybody up to 0.5.
Mm-hmm.
That has its advantages and disadvantages. But you're limited. I mean, they do a lot for adjuncts that way, but I don't think that in that setting, I think adjuncts do very well. I think adjuncts in another setting like that, they might not do so well.
Right.
But that, again, is the union evolved, and part of it is they look out for their brothers and sisters. Adjuncts are their brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
But now, when you get adjuncts down below 0.5, they do get abused bad.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing like they get abused at some of these other schools, like at MSU. I mean, I'd say they could bring in their English comp adjuncts in buses. Okay.
Yeah. Back to the merger, though. I mean, the university professors had issues with it. And the state employees had small issues, just thinking of being swallowed up?
Yeah, but I think we managed that good in the beginning.
How'd you manage that?
I don't know. Just like we did in MFC, we never let it be an issue. And myself, I think Eric. I had a whole lifetime to learn and understand faculty and public employees. Eric took the challenge on from day one. And I mean, you know, if somebody called us a teachers union, I might or might not eat him up. If anybody ever said a teachers union to Eric, he would take their head right off.
Really?
And
he accepted it that quickly.
He went after the press to say, you know, that we're the largest public employee union, and they have three or four different ways they make reference to MEA, MFT now.
Mm-hmm.
Would never happen if he didn't pursue that on his own.
Hmm. Would they give him extra votes or?
No.
Straight across on membership?
One person, one vote.
Okay.
One person, one vote. But is what we did is we developed, like Head Start would have a board member. So there's roughly 35 board members. All the larger locals would automatically have a board member. But then public employees, a certain segment of public employees, say county employees, they would have a board member. So there could be hundreds, even thousands of teachers. They would get their board members by virtue of large locals, but not by virtue of being teachers. Head Starts, public employees, healthcare had a seat at the board, no matter how small they were in number.
Right.
And that was basically the structure of the MEA Constitution. AFT, that wasn't promoted by AFT, but MFT promoted it because they liked how it took care of Head Start people and higher ed.
Interesting. So you really took a unique model. You didn't try to follow Florida or New York.
We had no... New York came way later. New York just did... I mean, we've been merged for 10 years and many years before that. Once we had no rate agreement. I mean, that's important to, you know, like we had a no rate agreement with this Counterfeit Public Employees Association, you know, but it's really a no rate agreement because they don't want us rating them, but they double cross us on a lot of other stuff.
Right.
Okay. When it came to Eric and I, I'm not sure what he'd say, but if we're going to do this, what do you need a no rate agreement for? I mean, you don't trust me or whatever?
Right.
I mean,
right. You showed all your cards.
Huh?
You showed all your cards.
We showed all our cards. Showed our cards from day one. And by the way, I wore diapers to the merger meeting. I had a prostate operation the week before we started merger talks.
Yeah.
That was 10 years ago.
That's a good story.
Eric took a lot of beatings for me. I won't bore you with them. Maybe another time when you get us together. But it was really funny how people thought they were going after me, went after him when they were really going after me. So we had a lot of fun in the process too. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But like the classified, we had two classified locals who were merged before MEA MFT merged.
You did an experiment, right? On a local to see if...
How did that happen? Oh, I know. Okay, so they consolidated the school district in Missoula. They had a high school and an elementary school district. So MEA had five bargaining units. We had one. But ours was larger than their five together. So what the Board of Personnel Appeals and the school district wanted to, you know, have a have us shoot it out. And mm-hmm. and so again, this was, why would we have a no-rate agreement? Why would we be dividing up who these members are? These are merged members. And so when we put our name on the ballot as MEA-MFT, so what's everybody going to say? Oh, you're MEA, you're MFT. Well, no, we're telling you who we are. We think we know who we are.
Yeah, right, right.
And they loved it, though, those classified employees, especially the secretaries and teacher aides and that. They just loved it.
Because they got a sense of more power, more unity?
Well, and they were groundbreakers, and
yeah.
They were pioneers, and they liked each other. It was sort of like the university thing, you know? I mean, we're not sure what we should be fighting about.
Yeah, this is a unique conversation because you always hear about the piss wars back and forth.
Yeah.
And still today, even trying to merge, they just, like, hurt each other.
Look, the AFT adopted something that everybody could have voted on and merged into, the AFT-NEA. Okay, so that would be one way to do it. But most of this sitting down and saying they're going to do it, I mean, I don't think New York would have ever done it if they weren't pressured by AFT to do it, because that brought so much prestige. But why would NYSET want to put up with the bullshit of some of the bullshit they had to put up with when they virtually own New York,
yeah.
and could have raided what was left. I mean, other than Buffalo, they could have whittled them right down to the ground. And but that don't take away from there were a lot of good people in New York NEA. But that was also partially a staff problem. Is New York NEA was, it was like a tree that was dying, and they had all these staff who had all these wonderful benefits, and they're fighting for those benefits. So in terms of being charitable, NYSET absorbed a big bill for the good of the order,
mm-hmm.
which in my view, and this, you know, in terms of having had the opportunity to be part of AFT, all my life, and Shanker and Sandy Feldman and Ed McElroy, who's my buddy forever, but I watched how New York operated, and they were like, it was similar to my friends at the University of Montana. They always did it for the good of the order. I mean, so while there was no real reason why they had to merge, it never did one thing for NYSET. Other than show, I shouldn't say that maybe, but other than show unity and other than show brotherhood and sisterhood and other than build a labor movement, which in my books they were known for. I mean, I've watched them mm-hmm. for 30 years. I mean, Herb Magison, do you know him?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is the epitome, but there were a lot of people like Herb over the years that Walter Tice.
Tice, you know, I was about to say Tice, yeah.
You know, Walter, I never knew very well, but he argued with Shanker more than all the rest of us put together. But I don't think Shanker had a better friend when we left the room.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like I was telling you, the MFT board. I mean, and I really want you to read about that Barrett. Because we had to make buddies with the Republicans to get the best just like we got collective bargaining, we got the best raised faculty ever seen,
yeah.
And public employees. I mean, when we were building into the merger, our faculty and our public employees were doing way better than public school teachers. That meant that we could have easily been fighting. And Eric saw that they had their day the last two legislatures. But as we were building into the merger, we had cut some pretty powerful deals for public employees. And he could have easily said public schools are entitled to that.
Mm-hmm.
But what did we say? No. we're going to get both. We're going to get criticized. Politicians aren't going to like us because they can't split us.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. Before they were splitting you guys apart.
Horribly splitting us apart.
Yeah, they look at MEA
come
up and...
Horribly splitting us apart.
Yeah. They were taking advantage of you guys because you just couldn't come to the same table. Now what are they going to do? They have to sit down at one table with one large, as some people say, the 800-pound gorilla in Montana.
And the fact of the matter is we're a hungry bear. We can never be satisfied. Mm-hmm. But we can leave with a smile.
That's true. That's true. Not bad. You're well fed.
But our appetite can... I mean, that's maybe a disadvantage to merger. But I think we can prove it's been an advantage in fighting the initiatives.
Yeah.
I mean, we have had every bit of unpublished fighting of the... or a lot less fanfare as California or Michigan as any place else. I mean, it was the left wing that tried to put through that initiatives are good and we should have them, and I think they're horseshit. Initiatives, and the right wing has been nothing, has used the initiative in Montana to beat us to death in public employment.
We've
won all the time.
They've won after you with vouchers, charter school, right to work.
No. We've never had a problem with right to work. Okay. Payroll protection, vouchers. But even to lesser degree, those is how they limit government.
Right.
Putting caps on how much you can spend in government. There's a different. Just name any initiative you can think of that puts limitations on government, we've had to deal with. And that's probably one of the ones we've talked about the least, but being merged has been one of the most important that the merger has helped.
And did they try to pass a Tabor?
Oh, yeah.
Here, and you guys fought it off?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that would have even hurt you even more.
Oh, yeah. That was the last one. That was the last legislature.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think, Eric can reel a lot of this stuff up, but I mean, we had CI 95, or 95 and 96 a couple of years ago, and then the Tabor thing last time. But I mean, I have to say, and that's another thing, the money that MEA, MFT puts into that and gets from AFT and NEA helps everybody else.
Yeah. It's the ripple effect.
Mm-hmm. It helps them so much but a lot of other unions don't appreciate that.
It's because not really the jealousy, but more as of...
There's some jealousy.
Well, there's always going to be jealousy. There's always going to be the egos.
There's some jealousy.
Is it also that mentality that why should
there's
we organize?
There's jealousy that they can't break that block. But I see, since I've been over here at the AFL-CIO and I've been on the board virtually all my career, I mean, I see more positive things. And MEA, MFT, Eric took some hammers that he wasn't entitled to because of people that didn't like me. But I think they're seeing the advantage of it now.
Mm-hmm.
But if we didn't monitor it, I think lazy naysayers would have brought us down.
Right.
Which extended my career.
Let's move into the national scene with merger.
Mm-hmm.
When you started the merger conversation in 90 with the lobbies, with the lottery here, AFT picked you up. Work on the
no,
national?
No, at the same time, right about that time was when Shanker said we ought to give this a whirl.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I came home and called Eric on the lottery.
Right.
So it, all this was going on they were putting the, what were the principles of unity? That's when the principles of unity started.
Why did Shankar think it was the time?
I think he always thought it was the time.
He always thought it was the time, but why was there something in the wind that he saw?
I think Shankar was always worried about the labor movement.
Yeah.
I think, man, I wouldn't be ever the guy to speak for Shankar, but I think when he saw what was happening with UAW and the way they weren't paying attention to their industry and in the future, and I think he saw that happening with education, that we had to be accountable to the public.
Right.
And that they were splitting us, and that splitting us at the national level like we were at the state level. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, well, you know all this. Shankar was an intellectual, and you know he first of all, he went through all those mergers in New York.
Yeah.
So he thought. He knew, and I think when they did the original merger in New York, they thought it would catch on.
They did. They really thought it would be a national movement.
Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping it still will be someday. I mean, there's four states now, and you know the four,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a lot of locals around the country, and you know I tell these. You know, the AFL-CIO meetings that I go to, regional meetings, that, you know, you should figure out a way to get some of these people in there just like us.
Well, more and more NEA locals.
Huh?
More and more NEA locals are joining AFL-CIO yeah. boards. That helps.
Yeah. Especially I mean, the more of that, the next time it's brought before the national AFL-CIO. And, you know, I'm counting on my buddy Eric to be a big player now.
So back to the beginning of the AFT, exploring the idea of merger again.
Mm-hmm.
Who was anybody against it? Was anybody said we're not ready for it?
There were a couple of people. Yeah. The guy I remember was Dale Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
You remember him?
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't believe in public employees being in AFT or classified or anything.
He thought it's strictly teacher union.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Large metropolitan, I think. I mean, that's the way I read him.
Right.
But now, buddies like my buddy Fondy. Do you know Fondy?
I was about to say, how did Fondy respond to this?
Fondy was there from day one.
Yeah.
I mean, but they didn't go after it in Pennsylvania. But as far as Fondy personally, I don't know, you know, they had that Pittsburgh-Philadelphia thing, and then, but Christ, Fondy Rennett, he had NEA people in his, or PEA people in his office building there in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
We were good friends, Fondy and I loved Fondy.
Yeah.
I might have stayed on the AFT, I stayed there longer than him because he died, but, I partially probably stayed just to go to have dinner with him. But there wasn't an issue that Fondy wasn't on the right side of.
That's right.
He might have been a little overly aggressive sometimes, but I don't think, I mean, in terms of the good of the order, in terms of the organized, the unorganized, Fondy was there.
Yeah, I knew there'd be something about Al. He was a good unionist. He was a good leader.
And, you know, you take, like, I mean, it's bad to start naming people because you miss somebody, but, I mean, I got to watch Al Shankar. I met Sandy Feldman in Colorado on an educational issues. It was kind of like state school officers, and they sent people from different states and I knew she was AFT, so obviously I was AFT. Now, this was back when I I was still in the Butte Teachers Union.
So this is late 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was one of the leaders there. And in fact, I had the pleasure of nominating her on the board. Not that a lot of other people couldn't, but I asked if I could.
Yeah.
To become president, you know, after Al died.
Right.
And then Ed was president when they were both sick. And I have to say, leaving the council and I mean, just not being able to be around Ed, and me and Ed and Fondy went to dinner a lot. But then Ed and I mean, Ed's been my friend for 30 years, and he's coming here in December to the MEA MFT. So
you'll be able to go to dinner with him.
I'll miss my snowmobiling for that.
Oh yeah, you then.
And but you know, there were guys like Paul Cole and Herb Magison. Herb Magison is probably, I want to say Sandy and Al and Ed, but you know, Herb was on the board, but Herb. He was just such a gentleman and so well read and so, you know, for the good of the order kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I always felt most of the people from New York were like that.
They were,
if not all of them.
Yeah,
you know, I think sometimes New York gets bum rap. I mean, it's like here, the University Teachers Union anteed up, didn't question, had to be for the good of the order. All my life, I've watched New Yorkers do stuff for the good of the order, and I think Herb epitomized that.
Mm-hmm. He did.
Just
he
epitomized
does.
That. I miss him.
Yeah, yeah. He was the last person I interviewed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, did him in December.
Oh, to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you should have brought him out here.
I know. No.
You should have brought Herb out here and interviewed the two of us together.
The stories I would have heard. So you got started on NEA-AFT merger issues.
Nationally?
Nationally, yeah.
Well, I think we all hoped that negotiating the principles of unity would get us there.
Yeah.
And like
and
I told you in the car today, that I don't think that... Who was the president? I used to have his picture up here.
Chase?
Hmm?
Chase? Bob Chase? You taking the NEA president?
No, before him. Now, Chase wanted merger.
Yes.
But I think he had to go out and shake some people and say, damn it, this is what's good. This is what we've been doing all our lives for, and he wanted it, but that's where, in my mind, it broke down.
He didn't go out and shake the tree?
Yeah.
So he's able, it was,
I mean, I think he wanted it himself, but, I mean, he knew those guys from New Jersey and Illinois and
Michigan.
You know, coming from Butte and Michigan, you know, use guys is a universal term that means man and woman.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not leaving women out when I say use guys.
Right. But AFT had, you guys got over the AFL-CIO issue, the affirmative action issue, the governance. What was missing? Is it the same that the NEA still has, those states still have problems?
They just didn't want it.
Yeah.
Some of them had problems with the AFL-CIO. I think in New Jersey they still have problems with the AFL and the CIO merger, much less...
they still hate Shanker. And they keep bringing that up. Yeah. So.
But they would have been like where I started out. They had their collective bargaining agreement and didn't give a fat rat's ass about the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. That's the way I'd say New Jersey. And you know... I the roof came in on us in Butte. Minerals went to shit, and the whole state went in the crapper economically, and didn't a lot of that happen in New Jersey?
Yeah.
So you should be looking for new allies and new ways to do business, but even AFT, I think, had three state federations in New Jersey at one time.
They had a higher ed, they had regular K,
and healthcare.
And healthcare. Still have the healthcare.
So they still have three.
Yeah, they have. AFT New Jersey has its own skeletons as well. Yeah.
And I would say that. I don't want to say that the staff wasn't loyal, but when the AFT, they sat around our council table and heard the people who maybe didn't like merger but who voted for it and why we should do it. And then I think when they were sent out to work with NEA people, they had their own little fights and their own little domains and their own little hotshot kind of things. I think that hurt. I don't think that caused the vote to be any different, but I think it hurt building relations after the NEA vote failed.
Mm-hmm.
That they were still, you know, obviously we're proud and we think we did, and we fell into a lot of it, but I think we did a lot of it right. I mean, why would you have two COPE committees? Or better yet, why, if we were both endorsing President A, why didn't we just both endorse President A and this was an NEAFT endorsement?
Mm-hmm.
But instead, we had political action, and maybe I shouldn't be picking on political action as an example, but I'm using it as an example. We had our political action people out doing their thing, theirs out doing theirs, and competing with each other to help the one candidate that we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, technically, in a senatorial race, why not have had AFT in one state and NEA in the other state if we trusted each other? See, now I've had an opportunity to watch how that works in reverse with this damn public employee association here.
Right.
That's what they did. I mean, we have a merged local, a couple merged locals with this public employee association, partially to hold them in bay.
Mm-hmm.
And this was before the merger. There was one local of 250 people. Well, we gave them the dues from the 200. They gave us the dues from the 50 or the partial. But this was to unite us. Well, instead of sending out an AFT person to negotiate, or an MFT person, or we call it MFSE, instead of sending out an MFT person to negotiate the contract, they would send out an MPEA person to watch the MFT person.
Hmm.
I mean, quite frankly, we were too busy with merger.
Right.
And that's where, being busy with merger, I think we let the staff get into a lot of bad habits.
Okay. Sounds about right. Sounds about right.
Real bad habits, and they blackmailed us, and I don't say they blackmailed us to a person, but individuals blackmailed us in terms of, just minor resistance things when we should have been
right,
really moving out.
Right.
And so where we started out with 16,000 members, we had a drop in membership, and I think we're back up to 16,000. By all is right, we should have 20,000 members.
Mm-hmm.
If and because we both were on the move, they were negotiating union security clauses in locals that didn't have union security. We were organizing new members. If we could have both kept up the same pace we were before the merger, we would have had another in a state like Montana, 3,000 or 4,000 members would be a lot.
Right.
And if you divide that by 30 staff people, how many a staff person is that?
Yeah.
It's criminal. It's criminal. Now, I on the internet, I say to all union people, of course, now I have a good base and I'm older that I don't, but I having to have swam uphill all my life, maybe I'm a little looser, but I'll tell you this, anybody who isn't organizing and bringing in new tangible members that you can see the color of their eyes every day should be backing up for their paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the internet. Or yeah. It's on our webpage.
Do or die.
Yeah.
And doing is organizing and union.
And the same applies to political action. And it's really easy to do.
Yeah.
I mean, you went to a meeting in Missoula last night? Oh yeah, good meeting. Who was there? Oh, guess there was about 20 people. Names. Pretty soon you get two names. Fucking liars. I don't think they should be working for unions.
No. They're sitting at the bar or sleeping.
Hmm?
They're sitting in the bar or sleeping. You know, they didn't go to a meeting. Or if they went to the meeting, they didn't get names.
Right.
They sat in the back.
And the thing is, if you spent more time at that, you'd have the same union members. You know, most grievances aren't grievances. They're somebody being treated unfairly. Well, get your butt off and go down and get to know the superintendent
mm-hmm.
or the department head or whoever so that you're embarrassed. Both of you are embarrassed to have a grievance because you know each other well enough.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, we have these long-distance fights, and we got too many people in too many unions, and ours is loaded with it.
Yeah, it's too many.
Who are just out for the fight.
That's what some personalities are. They only see it as a fight.
They shouldn't be working for a union.
No. No, union,
and a lot of people, you know, take union jobs. I mean, you hear them talking. You know, I'm going to retire. I'd like to get a job with the union.
That just hurts you, doesn't it?
Kills me.
Yeah. You're mentioning doing dual work on endorsing one person, NEAAFT.
Okay, back on the national level.
This is the last one on the national level.
Mm-hmm.
This is the last question on national level. Then we'll go more into you. But I'm always curious, is what is NEAAFT partnership supposedly doing? Are they exploring other locals and state feds to merge, or aren't they supposed to be working together on different education initiatives? Will they go into politics together?
Fran Marceau's online too.
Would you tell him what I'm doing?
You bet. I'm sorry. I thought you were actually in here by yourself.
Oh, wait a minute. I need that letter.
University bargaining?
Yeah.
I sent it.
Mean he still didn't have it?
I sent it before, but I sent it from my computer, so he may not have.
I need it for me. Tell Fran that I'd be happy to visit with him, but I have a historian here who we can't interrupt.
I'm so sorry, I didn't know you had someone here.
It's okay. Okay. Historian, I'm a historian now.
Aren't you?
Yeah, okay. Archivist.
If you're not an archiver?
Yeah. I'm your archivist. AFC calls me historian now because they think archivist is too pedestrian.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't mind it.
And most of ours, I mean, I don't know, we have never said anything.
No, you're... We can talk about that later.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know where a lot of it's at.
Yeah. We can talk about that later.
I tried to do that.
You try to save everything? It's hard. Especially when you don't know what to save and not to save.
Right.
Yeah. That's why Jewel has me going around the country, telling you guys what to save and not to save.
Okay.
It helps. Helps a lot.
But okay. I don't know what to say right now, because I haven't been around. I'll sure ask Ed what he thinks. I haven't heard anything out of Eric, you know, in terms of any new merger talks. I think everybody's hoping that Dennis Van Roekel will have a better attitude, or does have a better attitude, mm-hmm. and does see the advantage but I don't think in the last couple of years that there's been near the, you know, push in smaller locals or in smaller states or smaller locals I don't know. I mean, if California would have worked at it, that would have been a prestigious thing. I don't think they cared.
No. They're fine with their own worlds.
Just fine with where they're at.
Yeah, they are.
I don't understand that in terms of politics, because, I mean, we probably here in the AFL-CIO raised more money the last year with the help of all the nationals, and especially with the national AFL-CIO, and you know, we got Tester elected, but it's all of that is just an argument for not duplicating. And I mean, there's just so much duplicating that goes on there, just so much, and so much thinking that if somebody drags over $500 or something to a senator or a congressman, that they're ingratiating themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, figure out what your real issue is and then send it all over bundled, and that's what we want out of the... I mean, if it's a railroad issue or a mine issue or an education issue, you know, again, we're all in it together.
Mm-hmm.
It's
absolutely
so simple.
All right, let's best bad track. Okay. Your executive director, sole employee of MFT, right, in 71, 72, 73. Then you decide to run for vice president of AFT? Are you insane?
Well, I knew that there was a vice president for this region that had opened up, and I don't know, maybe I wasn't. But again, you know, the AFT was like a family, and so I just presume I wanted to get to know more, and maybe I saw that was a way to do it.
Youngest member of the council.
Was I?
Yeah. Maybe Sandra Iron was about your age.
No, she's older than me.
You had to be in your early 30s.
I was.
So you have that's your first experience really sitting at the council. Mm-hmm. And here's everybody, and here's this young guy with hair.
Yeah, I had long hair. Did you see it?
Yeah, I did. So, what was... And that was 74 was the change.
Hmm?
74 was a huge change for AFT. Shanker gets elected.
Yeah, it was in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'd been to a couple conventions before.
Were you in
that? And I know there was politics with Selden. Selden had been here. I could tell you some Selden stories.
What, Selden came here to visit you guys?
Yeah.
Really?
He was pretty good like that.
He did travel. He liked to see everybody.
And
What was Selden like?
John Smith probably.
Oh yeah.
Was John? He's the one who got me into organizing. And did you know him?
I never knew John Smith. No.
Well, he pretty much. Says, oh yeah, we can do this. I mean, I can't remember exactly how we can do it, but like, we need an organizer. I remember one time we were at a workshop somewhere, and he needed a partner to play tennis. And I said, I've never played tennis. He says, oh, that don't matter. We'll be fine.
That's a good attitude.
I think that's how. I remember Sally from that day down there in Florida. I don't know who Bob Porter I knew.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going to see Shanker, and he was in his swimsuit, and I was in my leisure suit.
In Florida.
Yeah. Huh?
In Florida.
In Florida. And so Shanker says, well, yeah, I've heard you've done some pretty good stuff out in Montana. He says, but, you know, we got these, you know, we got regional things. He says, we got racial, ethnic, men, women. And I think even back then we had, if not higher ed, but, you know, public employee, stuff like that. And later on I became the public employee vice president.
Yeah, I'll talk to you about that later. Yeah.
But anyway, I said to Shanker, you know how stuff rolls out to your tongue and then you say, oh, that's when you should never say. So when he's telling me all this, that all this stuff we had to take into consideration on vice presidents, I says, well, I'd be the only cowboy. And I remember I'm sweating, and he looked up at me. I said, he says, these are the things we consider. He says, I didn't say I bought them. And he says, last I looked, he says, you weren't in, the cowboys aren't a recognized minority in this country.
That's Shanker, yeah.
So, I wore cowboy boots the first 2 years.
Good for you. Good for you. What were the first couple, like, what was the first couple years on council? Like, it was,
Well, McElroy would have been one of the first people I met. I can remember that. And I always used to kind of watch what he was doing.
Did you kind of just watch the first year? See what was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And watched. There was a guy by the name of Manley in my early years. I'm from Illinois. I became buddies with. We hung out a lot together. But then I think, you know, like Phil Kugler and I have been friends since almost day one.
Yeah.
But Smith would have still been on the board when I started. But then somewhere along there, Steve Porter got hired, and he started coming to Montana. And so as I got to be friends with him, I got to be better friends with his dad.
Yeah.
So those were my early days. I can remember Carl Magel and Bill Simon and Million and More in 84.
Yep, that's Magel.
He was out here. I remember he came to, you know, Shanker was to Montana half a dozen times.
Mm-hmm.
We came out once during the merger and I got to ride to Missoula with him. And I think he had his cancer back then because he had some lung problems. But those were great visits, mm-hmm. You know. But I, you know, in terms of hanging out after council meetings and that, but like if he ever come out here or somewhere like that, I mean,
family.
Yeah. Huh?
Family.
Yeah.
Family visiting. Yeah.
And One time we were having a big dinner with he was here. Shanker must have been here 6 or 8 times, because the first time we used to have big dinners way back in the beginning, and I remember him in Missoula before I knew him. We were at this meeting or luncheon or something, so we had Montana labor leaders, and this, so we put this one guy who was supposed to be a big shot next to Shanker, and I was sitting on the other side, and I could just see Shanker. He was boring the shit out of Shanker. And Shanker turned around to me and kind of turned away from him. And he says, "Jim," he says, "have you ever been to Israel?" And I says, "No." He says, "Well, you got to go to Israel." So he starts telling me this. And so really, I got a trip to Israel because this guy was just such a big asshole. He says, "You got to go to Israel." Uh-huh. And he starts telling me. But I didn't get to go on that time because something happened. Yeah. And that would have been a probably, I wouldn't say it was any better than the trip I ultimately went on. But the trip I went on, I went with Ted Kirsch.
Right.
And it wasn't the same thing. And I got to take my daughter. And that's probably one of the most, one reason why I raised that is because I took my kids a lot with me. I was divorced pretty young, and every one of them went different places with me. Mm-hmm. And this trip to Israel, my youngest daughter was about 20, 21 maybe. And I, you know, she wasn't easily to go that far. I was worried, mm-hmm. and she loved every minute of it.
I bet. That's very cool.
And she kept a journal, and she still talks about it. But I'm going to get off the subject there because I have a weird sense of humor. We're up on the Golan Heights, and this young guy who had been picked up along the way on a bus, he was dressed in his soldier uniform and had a weapon. Mm-hmm. And he gets on the bus, but he was more of a moderator on the bus. But then when we got back up on the Golan Heights, he was more in his military garb. Young.
Sure.
So they got us in this, I don't know how to explain it. It wasn't a very fancy place. But anyways, got all the maps and everything, and they're explaining this about the war and that and all the different things that are going on. So this is the 5-day war. This guy says, "Well, how come the Syrians stopped when they were coming down the Golan Heights?" And this kid never looked up or never made eye contact with anybody when he said this, but I caught it. I don't know if half the people in the room caught it. He says, "Well, it was 5 o'clock."
That's a pretty good line.
That was one of the best lines I ever heard in my whole life.
Yeah, that's a great line.
5 o'clock. So anyway, right,
back to council. That's AFT's kind of shifting from AFT is kind of shifting more into the education issues in the 70s, but all of a sudden AFT decides that they want to organize heavily in nursing and public employees. Mm-hmm. They already had some in public employees floating around, but what was the draw to get not only nurses, which, I mean, is out of the realm, but public employees, which is an AFSCME kind of domain?
Well, I think Chuck Richards was the organizing director then, mm-hmm. and I think Chuck saw that, but Shanker again. I think Shanker thought the professional relationship and I just think that the healthcare part, I just think he thought that was a natural, and that and I think it was. I just don't know that we had organizers that it was tough, but you can't tell me that you know, with people like Ann Toomey, that we couldn't organize in more places. I know it's hard. I mean, we've had health care here, and we've organized, and I notice our staff. But in MFT, we organized them.
Mm-hmm. How did the did anybody on council not want to go up to nurses, saying it's
the same people probably?
Yeah.
Nobody really. I can't remember any big resistance to it. I mean, I would think guys like Fondy and them guys. I mean, they always were adventurous and I can't. The only ones I only guy I can really remember who stands out was Dale Lawrence, and I think somebody from that part of the country who really. I'm not sure Adam Urbanski is big on some of that stuff.
Right.
But I could be wrong about that. But Dale Lawrence and a few more, and I just can't remember. I'm not sure they were for the merger with NEA or. But most of the council was for all that.
Right.
I mean, with the, none of these votes were 50-49. I mean, they were.
Right there.
I'd say 80-94 mm-hmm. on all of this stuff. 80-94.
Yeah. That's definitely. I mean, once argued out, AFT Council, you debate everything out.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, you pretty much all agree on everything. Because you have it as a lively debate.
And but there was always the classified thing there, that there were a lot of classified. So I think that was building up alongside of. And then there was a higher ed thing, and then.
Classifieds just took off, too.
Yeah.
It really took off because it was a natural.
And then so did the public employee to a degree. But we, I don't know, I think we took the leadership with those affiliations, and they just didn't seem like they could organize. But I don't think that's what they were missing. I don't think they had political connections in their state.
Public employees?
The people we took in.
Oh, yeah.
But there again, you have to negotiate. To do it successfully, you're virtually negotiating for every last state employee.
Mm-hmm.
And so once we had a few state employees, I figured out that we had to get more or somebody else does our bidding. Plus, we wanted to grow. I mean,
yeah.
So, I mean.
Is that why you were tapped in to be in charge of the PPC? Public employees part?
Later on, yeah. Later on, instead of a... Well, first I had a geographical area, then I had a geographical area and public employees. And, no, I still had a geographical area even right at the end.
Yeah.
Most of these Rocky Mountain states in Alaska. And,
yeah. Did you see that this public employees as the area to organizing and growth?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what Steve Porter then would say now. You know, a lot of other unions have gone after him. In the South, they don't have collective bargaining laws. See, the one thing about where you had the law, you had you either have to have a lot of political clout or the law.
Yeah.
And if you got both, and we've had both.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I think we made a lot of that. There's no... like I figured that out, and when Roscoe was governor, I mean, he was grateful to be able to cut a deal, because otherwise he had to do hundreds of them.
Right.
So he thought he believed that we were. He wanted to be right with his raises because he told me that we were making his life easier.
Mm-hmm.
Now the people that have come after him. Have inherit this as a matter of fact.
Right.
And plus, like in the case of Schweitzer, there's money. So, I mean, it's hard to say. And also, when the Board of Regents sleeps, they only get the money of state employees. So in order to properly represent faculty, we had to have, or in my mind, we had to have a big say as to how state bargaining went.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where. I mean, we negotiated a 5-year agreement for 35% with the faculty. That was one of the highlights of my career, without a doubt.
That's huge.
That was huge. 5 years.